Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne?
El Presidente. I am your host for the next 2 hours. We're going to spend some time together on our very last show of 2013. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be recapping some of the top stories of 2013. Obviously, one of the biggest Auburn shocks, Bama. We're going to be talking about that. Also, World Series, baby. And the biggest story of 2013 has to be the Boston bombing, so we're going to talk about that as well throughout the next 2 hours. Do you have your New Year's resolutions in place? Are you going to stick to them this year? You know, lose weight, make more money, stop smoking, quit drinking. All of those things are good to do, good to do lists. But I tell you what, we've made our own New Year's resolution here on The Balance. You'll be hearing more about that as we go along. One of those things is 14 and 14, and we want you guys to be a part of it. 14,000 fans on our Facebook page we want by this time next year. Of course, if we surpass that, that's fine too. But 14 and 14, big campaign. We're getting ready to launch for our Facebook community. So if you are a minion and you're on Facebook, go to The Balance, search The Balance, become a minion, and become a part of 14 and 14. Also, Pro Indy. As you guys might know, we merged some things together with IndyProSports.com and Pro Indy. We're going to be talking everything pro sports in Indianapolis, from the Colts, the Pacers, the Fever, the Indians, and the brand new Indy 11. And we're going to be talking with Sean Horton here in just a moment about the Indy 11 in the World Cup soccer men's USA team. And just be talking about soccer in general. And as we move heavy into 2014, soccer is going to be a new segment that we're going to be talking about maybe once a month or so. We'll see how that works out. Also, hunting. We're going to be bringing a lot more hunting segments to you through the year 2014. So as you can see, we have our list of resolutions in place, and we're ready to go for 2014. Are you? My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. My digit's 917-889-8516. Right around the corner, waiting in our green room, is Mr. Sean Horton. We're talking some soccer for the first segment, we'll say of 2014, on our last show of 2013.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Hi, I'm Chris Jampone, defender of the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm Mike O'Bradley, midfielder for the U.S. National Team.
Hi, I'm Heather O'Reilly, midfielder.
Hi, Abby Wambach here with the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm DeMarcus Beasley.
Nicole Barnhart, goalkeeper.
And Krista Dunn here,
Becky Sauerbrunn, defender.
Hey, I'm Alejandra Bedoya.
And I'm Rachel Buehler, defender for the Women's National Team.
Wishing you and yours.
And we are wishing you.
We just wanted to wish you and yours
a happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And all the best for 2014.
Oppa Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
All right, welcome back to the Balance, the final show of 2013. Who can forget Gangnam Style, the dance in 2013? Man, I tell you what, we had a lot of fun with that song, and just like everything else, it just wore its welcome out. But one person who hasn't wore his welcome out yet, anyway, we finally nailed him down here on the show, our good friend and new soccer expert consultant guy to our guy in the soccer world. It's Mr. Sean Horton. How you doing, sir? Sean, are you with us? Well, hopefully, Sean, are you with us? Well, hopefully we'll get Sean back here in just a second. I know he's in queue, so we'll try to get him here in just a second. Let's try him again here. Hi, Sean, are you there? Okay, well, apparently we're having some technical difficulties. And Sean, what we'll try to do is we'll try to get him back. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad it's the end of 2013 for a lot of reasons. We're going to be fixing a lot of things on our technical issues. All right, Sean, are you with us now?
Tom, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, sir.
Tom,
thank you.
Fantastic, Tom.
All right, buddy.
You know, technology.
Hey man, you might be out there on the pitch or something, huh? You know, I'm actually learning up, if I can use that word. I'm learning up on my soccer terms. Well, as we said, Sean Horton joining us as throughout 2014, we're going to be developing a lot more time to soccer, and as I said, some other segments as well, guns and racing.
Guns and racing.
Yeah, buddy. That's right. We'll get it all together, but not all in the same segment. We have fun with a lot of different other sports. But one of the things that is just really becoming a mainstream sport, and we felt like that it was an appropriate sport to make a regular segment of the Balance, and that's soccer. And with the brand new Indy 11 coming here to Indianapolis, and we're going to get into some World Cup soccer here in just a moment, and obviously Team USA, which is the biggest news. But here in Indiana, in our backyard, as you heard in the promo, soccer is deeply rooted here in Indiana, and nobody knows that better than you. So talk with us a little bit about soccer here in Indiana. I also want to thank all of our listeners who have just joined us on Indiana Talks. By the way, you are listening to a tape broadcast between 1 and 3 today on Indiana Talks. So also, if you missed part of this broadcast, you can catch us all over the state of Indiana with Indiana Talks. And we've lost Sean again. I don't know what he's doing, but we'll keep.
Tom, you there?
Are you there, Sean?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Technical difficulty, like it's going out of style. I apologize for wrecking your show here, Tom. But yeah, no,
you're not wrecking my show. Talk with us a little bit about Indy 11, what it's about, and most importantly, talk with us about the history and the heritage of soccer inside Indiana.
Well, I mean, you know, soccer, like in most areas, has just been, you know, a very big sport. I think there isn't one person around that can't say that they started out, you know, when they were 5, 6, whatever, running around and just chasing the soccer ball around and parents just being exceptionally bored for some point in time. But, you know, soccer has, you know, drawn quite a crowd for some time. I moved here about 15 years ago from New York with a little bit more, you know, in-depth. Things have been going on a little bit there longer, but definitely found that the diehards that were dedicated in this area to the soccer teams and to the sport itself were definitely very full on. There is quite a contingent that kind of, I want to say, flies under the radar. You know, we haven't quite hit the, you know, the football, basketball circuit yet. But there is just such a strong presence behind what goes on in all of our youth leagues as well as our, you know, college academia leagues as well that, you know, we finally got ourselves in a position that we're ready for Indy 11 to come online here April 12th.
Now, talk with us a little bit about Indy 11 and maybe, you know, some of us might know, certainly those of us who have followed the story, but Indy 11 was launched by a company called Keystone Group to play in the North American Soccer League. So tell us a little bit about the North American Soccer League and really uniquely how maybe, you know, I'm a big Civil War buff, and so maybe a lot of people don't know what the Indy 11 came from, but it really does reflect on really the state of Indiana and referencing all their players on the field, giving an additional pay to the 11th Regiment of the Indiana Volunteers, which fought during the Union Army during the Civil War. And obviously led by Colonel Eli Lilly, and the inspiration came from that. So certainly honoring our rich, rich military heritage here in Indiana, of the Indy 11 in the North American Soccer League.
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, when the day is said and done, it's tying Indiana together and us strengthening ourselves, you know, across the board, looking to capitalize on different segments that are strong and are important, you know, to our culture, being Indiana folk, however you want to, Hoosiers, actually the best way to characterize that. And it was just the best fit. I mean, when the day is said and done, you have 11 players on the field. You have a strong regiment that represented us. We're looking to put together a soccer team, and to me, the two completely fit. Now, whether that constitutes the full scope as to all the thought and the preparation that gets put into the rationalization as to the options that were provided, that I can't speak to as I didn't get involved in that process. But to me, being a fan and you know, having an understanding of being a true Hoosier at this point in time, that would be you know, my firm statement on that.
Well, we're very, very excited about having the Indy 11 here in Indianapolis in April. And
oh, yeah.
I really encourage everyone from all over the state of Indiana to come out, but certainly those here in the Indianapolis metropolitan market. And I know you're in line, or if you haven't already, become one of the biggest season ticket holders that they'll have out there at Indy 11. And I know around the office, as we are colleagues, you were sporting your Indy 11 shirt yesterday. So talk with us a little bit about what the North American Soccer League is and how that compares to some of maybe the more dominant, more prominent soccer leagues that we saw here in Indianapolis, you know, just a few months ago, or against in the World Cup soccer.
Okay, well, I honestly want to sit and say the best way to characterize it is if you were to look at Indy 11 at this point in time, starting out more or less with the Indians. I don't want to say it's a farm team, but it's the level down from where MLS teams would be. So you've heard of your New York Red Bulls, you've heard of your Seattle Supersonics and teams of that nature. This is our starting point. You know, Indy, you know, we have a very diverse culture. We have a lot of sports going on, so it really was a matter of finding the best balancing act for us to start the playing field, you know, to have a soccer team. And this is the best start for us in order to really build up and get the fan base going with the idea that one day, you know, we'll have an official MLS team that will be hosting teams like, again, Red Bulls, and then, you know, David Beckham's getting ready to start a team there in Miami. So it's just the forefront to great things to come.
Well, absolutely, and we're excited about it. We're talking with Sean Horton, who's going to really be joining us and take the lead in our soccer segment moving forward into 2014. We're still planning out the schedule, whether that be an every other week thing, and certainly we'll be doing a lot more of it toward the spring and we get into April and really talk a lot about the Indy 11. But let's move forward here. We got the World Cup soccer, and certainly that's the grand poupon, if you will, of soccer, and the largest soccer audience in the world. And let's face it, outside of the United States, soccer is probably the most popular sport in the world. So World Cup soccer truly is that. When you become a world champion in World Cup soccer, it is no easy task, if you will, but once you do, you are truly the world champion. Talk with us about the World Cup soccer and where we drew out this year. And is it good, bad, indifferent, and what are some of the things you're looking for the USA to do in World Cup soccer competition this year?
Tom, I'm going to be openly honest and saying I am Team USA all the way, but I am also a realist at the same time. What I would like to characterize, managed to find ourselves in what I would call the group of death, I guess, for lack of better terms. Now, I don't know if others listening, you know, may have heard of that, but it's different groupings that take place as far as teams that are going to play each other. The previous World Cup, you had your teams such as Brazil, Italy, Spain, kind of your power hitters in the circuit, all in one group. And, you know, I think the U.S. stands a chance, but, you know, it's going to be definitely a seat-of-the-pants situation. As I mean, just Portugal and Germany, I mean, and not to disrespect Ghana any means, they're all absolutely solid international teams. And we have a lot to push for and are going to be looking to make some magic happen.
Well, let's talk a little bit and get to know some of USA players, maybe as we look back at 2013 and saw their stocks rise and fall, if you will. We look at a really good goalkeeper, I would say his stock up is anyway, Nick Romano, and the case might be made for Brad Guzan deserving this spot after solidifying his hold on the number two position on the USA U.S. depth chart and becoming Austin Villa's starter and MVP. So, Nick Romano, what are your thoughts on this goalkeeper as we get to know our U.S. Soccer players for 2013?
Oh, he's absolutely solid. There's not more that I can say about having a goalkeeper, and I will go ahead and just sit and say to put it out there that being that he is in the position to play at the EPL or the, you know, the English British Premier League, that just alone stands to sit and say that he is spot on. Something the very odd fact is that the U.S. manages to pump out goalkeepers. Statistically, they're, you know, kind of crazy, just a different breed of soccer player. You know, and him along with Tim Howard, you know, the fact that we have keepers playing and then that's what's going to be representing and basically the last stand as far as goals versus us is huge. I am totally amped up for him and feel that he'll be a very strong asset and be, you know, the make or break of, you know, how we end up getting out of this group.
Well, certainly, you know, a goalkeeper in the position that they play says what it is. It is the keeper of the goal, and there's a reason why soccer matches. You're lucky if you see 5 points scored in a soccer match, and that's because if you've got a good goalkeeper, the score is going to be very, very, very low. I want to talk about some of these other positions, and maybe some positions that soccer fans or novice soccer fans or new to the soccer world. But let's talk about Brad Evans, the right back. I think he's a really solid guy and spot on. Few could have imagined Evans becoming Killian's first choice right back, but Seattle Sandals midfielder became just that in 2013, and he showed signs of improvement as he grew comfortable in the right back position. So tell us a little bit about what position is the right back and why Brad Evans is in that position.
Well, he's the strongest, player utilizing the right side of the field, being able to set up plays for his mid and offensive sides. But, again, I sit and I say, offense wins games, defense wins championships. You can sit and have a nil game because you've had solid defense and solid goalkeeping by having him on the right-hand side, which predominantly is the strongest side for most any given team at any point in time. That position, obviously, from the goalkeeper, keeping away from your stoppers. The man is just a true gem and is very, very good at what he does. Again, a strong complement to our current keeper situation.
Well, I tell you what, maybe his backup, Tim Chandler, he only made one start in 2012, but certainly one would think that they could have their eyes on him as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about the position of center back. I like Matt Besler. No player has really enjoyed his dramatic boost in his stock as Besler, who went from an uncapped before 2013 to a regular starter and arguably the U.S. team's best center ever in men's soccer.
Well, I truly have respect for the man. I personally played center back, when I was actually playing. And to me, beyond the keeper, that is a huge position. Is you see the entire field, and more or less you orchestrate and have to know what's going on at all point in time. This man has a way of reading the field, reading what's going on, and instructing his team and players to act accordingly. By having that type of management, having that type of skill, in essence, again, keeping the opposing team away from the keeper and the goalpost, the man stands a strong passion on the field and a strong ability to maintain that, which is exactly what we need when we're going up against power hitters like, Germany and Portugal as far as striker positions and the ability for them to score goals.
Well, let's talk about the other center back who obviously stock is up as well. Omar Gonzalez, despite a grand total of 2 caps before 2013, Gonzalez, well, really wasn't a big surprise on the national team this year, at least that Besler was, not that big of a surprise. And he had been considered a future national teamer for some team before he had a torn ACL. So talk with us a little bit about Omar Gonzalez.
Well, I know he's playing for the Galaxy. I'm going to be really fair with you, Tom, and say I'm not well-head and understanding on him as much as I want to know and have everybody on point. That'll be one I'll have to back down on, as I do not have the familiarity, I think, to answer your question completely.
Roger that. Politically correct answer.
As much as I want to BS you, Tom.
No, that, you know what? That's fine, Sean. I appreciate you educating us on soccer, and I'm learning as I go along as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about the left back position, what their job is, and let's talk a little bit about DeMarcus Beasley and his position there. A strong challenger to Beasley is the most surprising stock riser in the 2013 category. Beasley went really from not starting in a national team game since 2010 to leading the team in starts in 2013 and 17 and on the USA team in a Gold Cup title. Along the way, he proved he was a reasonable left-back option only at the age of 31, which, by the way, when we look at other sports, 31 is kind of an old fart.
Well, it depends upon your playing field. You know, let's be honest here, Tom. You know, I am a huge USA and a huge, you know, fan of America, obviously. I would not be on your show if that not were the case. I don't want to go back to, you know, the guns in the race. You know, I don't want to touch that envelope.
Hey, that's all right.
But the fact of the matter is we're growing, okay? We're all learning, and the world platform is how we have to look at soccer as a whole. We can't just sit and look at our own country, you know, when we start talking about these things. So, yes, 31, you know, from a standpoint across the, you know, international playing field is very old. But for us, being that we're growing, it's very respectful that we are getting and having the option to have some of these players that one might say, quote-unquote, could be looking at retirement, could, quote-unquote, be just looking to do other things with themselves. I sit here and I say one of my most favorite and players that I cherish forever is, you know, Thierry Henry, you know, who played for New York Red Bulls there for a stunt. I mean, the man, you know, should have been retired. You look at David Beckham, you know, like how old is he? Age doesn't necessarily matter for us at this point in time. What we're looking for is building up that fanfare, that understanding across the community of how strong soccer can be and see what these players can truly do.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, and I don't have time to get into some of these other players, but,
yeah,
you know, you know, some of the other positions, central midfield, left midfield, forward. So talk with us a little bit about what those positions are and what they do in the function of the team.
Well, you know, your forwards are going to score your goals. You got your strikers in there that just need to be scoring goals. I mean, they're basic main function is to get that ball in the net, you know, and then it's, you know, goes down the plane. As far as your midfield positions, you know, your feeders, these are the guys personally need to be setting up plays for your strikers to score the goals. And then defense obviously is pretty much self-explanatory, but it's very fluid. The way an entire soccer team ends up working is that, you know, almost in basketball, you have, but you're also expected to do many, many other things that might involve the success for the entire team as a whole. It's definitely very much of a team sport. You know, you can sit, and again, those that might know a little bit more about soccer, you know, you hear about your Cristiano Ronaldos and you hear about your Lionel Messis, and those are all absolutely amazingly fantastic players. But if they did not have a truly solid and amazing backing towards them, being their midfield, their backs, and their goalkeepers, then you would not hear near as much about them as you might in some other sports that can be a single-player dominated game.
Well, and we're talking with Sean Horton, who's going to be our expert on the show for soccer going through 2014. One of our resolutions is to bring soccer, hunting, guns, and more racing to you on the ballots.
And a commitment I'll make to you, Tom, I heard you talking about, not to cut you off there, with making New Year's resolutions, that I am very dedicated and very excited to really get soccer more involved with the beer, guns, and racing. Are you allowed to say that? Anyway,
beer, guns, and racing.
I have a little bit more in-depth insight into segments that we might talk on so that we can bring some of your viewers in and have, you know, some discussions. Soccer is just really, really up and coming, and especially in Indianapolis, I'm very much looking forward to the atmosphere and things to come for 2014.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, our producer and social media director, Michelle, she played soccer as a youngin herself. She was a forward. I know you played soccer. I opted to play other sports. I was in track and cross country and baseball and football and basketball when I was a little bit younger. And who would have ever thought you could be 6'1 and never be tall enough to play basketball? So,
well, let me tell you something funny, and then I'll let you go to continue with your segment. Something that was always interesting in the high school bracket is that, you know, the soccer players, you sit and look at your kickers in football, and this might ruffle a few feathers, but I'd say most of them at some point started out as soccer players. Every year that I ever played, they would have us come out and practice kicking field goals and punting for the football team for us to be football players. So there is a lot of areas, and that's just one example, that all kind of coincides as far as sports in general. You know, you can think of me, and those of you that don't know me, but Tom does, I am definitely not the football-fitting figure in any shape of the term, but to watch me go out in pads and my soccer cleats and punt and kick balls to try out for the football team would have been quite amusing.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what? I think now that we look at the Colts team, we've got former soccer players. You mentioned that Pat McAfee played a lot of soccer in his day, and now we have a rugby player. Yep. And in some aspects, Pat McAfee plays rugby. The way he turns into a linebacker, that's for sure. But maybe in 2015 we'll bring a rugby segment on. Believe it or not, we joke about rugby, but that is a real popular sport also within the confines of Indiana. And there's a reason why Indianapolis is the amateur sports capital of the world.
That's right.
One more final thought here with Sean Horton before we let you go. Sean, any thing that we didn't touch on? Obviously, we're going to be talking a lot through 2014 on soccer and focusing in on the Indy 11 as well. But anything that we didn't talk about that maybe you'd like to bring up to us and bring to our attention about soccer and looking at it moving forward into 2014?
I want everybody to watch it grow in this country. I sit and I say for 2014, just watch the circuit and watch what's going on. I mean, it is just growing exponentially as far as people's interest and people's understanding. And you know what? Just take the time. I feel more and more people that I talk to that are not true soccer fans at this point in time truly just don't understand the sport. They didn't grow up with it. I think around here, everybody knows basketball, and that's the only thing I sit and say is, take the 5 minutes to sit and maybe try and ask somebody that knows what they're talking about to get it, because it truly is a fantastic sport, a great gift of athleticism in order to be a player, and is going to be, on the forefront of many, many different sporting events moving forward. So for 2014, ask a soccer fan. Ask them anything.
Well, absolutely, and we're going to have our new 2014 Balance T-shirts, Gun Sports in Soccer. we'll get together with that. Sean Horton, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure to have you on with us. Any personal New Year's resolutions that you want to share with us today?
Well, personal New Year's resolution is I'm officially going to quit smoking, so I might actually start being able to play a little soccer again. And I'm going to fully commit myself to investigating and being as knowledgeable as possible so that you'll allow me on here more than once a month, maybe bi-weekly or even every week. You never know.
I tell you what, Sean, you're welcome here pretty much any time. The key is actually getting you on here. And
you've moved to the top of my priority list. I mean, when you're Sean Horton, I mean, you command, a tough crowd sometimes.
Oh, I understand.
That sounds horrible.
I know how it is, buddy. I work with you, and pulling you in a lot of different directions. But anyway, Sean, we're looking forward to having you on here in 2014 as we begin in the balance, our new soccer segment, and the future, part of the future anyway, the balance will include soccer going forward.
Awesome.
All right, buddy.
We thank you.
All right. Sean Horton. Man, I tell you what, surfer dude turned soccer fan, soccer analysis guy. We're looking forward to having, and believe me, those of you that know Sean know exactly what I'm talking about. Sean is a class act, good friend of mine, colleague, but we're looking forward to having him on board in 2014 to talk some soccer, Indy 11, and so forth. Well, guys, we move forward, and we're going to be getting into some college talk here. I believe Jimmy the intern is going to give us a call here in just a moment as we talk about some of the top college sports stories in 2013, as well as we take a look into this weekend's bowl games. It's the last show of the year right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente.
Con los
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec leagues.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Hi, I'm Chris Jampone, defender of the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm Michael Bradley, midfielder for the U.S. National Team.
Hi, I'm Heather O'Reilly, midfielder.
Hi, Abby Wambach here with U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm DeMarcus Beasley.
Nicole Barnhart, goalkeeper.
And Krista Dunn here,
Becky Sauerbrunn, defender.
Hey, I'm Alejandro Bedoya.
And I'm Rachel Buehler, defender for the Women's National Team.
Wishing you and yours.
And we are wishing you.
We just wanted to wish you and yours
a happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And all the best for 2014.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the occasion and put your hands in the air. Always on top, always gonna win, never give.
His head on straight. He's going to play a long time on Sunday afternoon. I mean a long time.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm bringing in the chemicals.
The linebacker with a stiff arm. What a play.
I just tried to run the ball, tried to give my team a great opportunity to win, and I did it.
The ball was in the air, coming toward you. What was in your mind?
Catch it and run.
As you crossed the goal line, what were you thinking?
It's amazing. God is good. God is good.
What did you learn about this team today?
Relentless. You know, we overcome adversity, and we stayed together, and we got it done.
Some people like to talk about destiny or magic, Chris. What applies to this team this season?
I just said it, relentless. Together was the thing we had coming in, and we stayed together the whole time. I'm proud of my teammates, coaches, and these fans.
I was in disbelief. You know, he zoomed right past me. You know, I was standing on the sideline, and he zoomed right past me. And, you know, I was in disbelief and shock that he scored that, you know, to end the game. I could have thought we were going to go in, you know, more time.
Well, the first thing I'm looking to, does it have enough distance? You know, and then I saw it didn't have enough distance, and so my eyes kind of got on Chris, and you know, they had their field goal team out there with a lot of big guys, so I knew he only had to probably make a couple guys that could actually tackle miss, and you know, made some good blocks, and he went down our sideline and scored a touchdown.
I'm proud of my team. I'm proud of those guys, and they fought to the very end. We always say it's not over until the clock hits zero, and, you know, those guys fought to the very end.
We talked all week about if we get to the fourth quarter, we're going to find a way to win, and our guys completely believe that. Nobody was panicking on the sideline. Just move on. We talked about weathering storms. We said there's going to be a lot of storms to weather. Just weather the storm, and if it's close, we're going to find a way. The way we won the last 2 weeks is really unbelievable. Our guys believe, you know, they backed us up. I think they missed a field goal. We held them on fourth down. The offense steps up, the defense steps up, and the special teams. And it's just been an amazing year so far. It's not over with, but obviously huge win. Our program's going the right direction, and really like coaching our kids.
Is this the biggest win of your life?
You know, I got a lot of emotion right now. I mean, it ranks up there, there's no doubt. I mean, I'll probably be able to answer that a little bit probably better tomorrow. But huge win against our rival to go to the SEC championship, playing at home in front of our fans, and Yes. Probably so. I'm going to say probably so.
All right. As you probably could figure out by listening to that soundbite, that was one of the biggest sports stories in college of 2013, and that was when Auburn just turned the lights out on Alabama. Alabama, Auburn quarterback Chris Davis returned a missed field goal attempt, 100-plus yards to score a game-winning touchdown as the time expired on the buzzer down there in the Iron Bowl in the grunge matchup against number one Alabama. Boy, the roll tides did roll, did that not? Auburn won 34-28, in all likelihood ensuring that an SEC team won't be playing in the BCS national game title this year. So we're going to get into some of those bowl games. Well, it's College Saturday. We're going to be breaking down some of the top college games in 2013. And looking at some of the bowl games that we've got as well. You know, hopefully we've got Jimmy the intern going to be giving us a call in here and talk with us about some of these bowl games as well. 917-889-8516. Want to talk about some of the top college stories in 2013? Give me a call. We'd love to talk with you about that. What are some of the things that maybe come to your mind? Certainly maybe here most recently, Jameson Winston, and we've talked about Johnny Quarterback, and you know, we talked about the Army Navy game, and there was just a lot of stories that just come to my mind right now, right here at the moment, that were huge stories in 2013. What are some of the biggest disappointments, some of the biggest surprises, or top moments that you can remember back in 2013 in college sports or sports at all? In general, we've got the traditional bowl schedule lined up: Rose Bowl, the Tostilla Fiesta Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and of course the granddaddy of them all. That's totally the wrong thing to say, because the granddaddy of them all would be the Rose Bowl, but we'll say the big daddy of them all, the national championship, the BCS national championship. And can I get a hello, thank you, amen? We will not have to deal with the BCS bowls next year. We're going to have us a playoff system. Playoffs? Don't talk to me about playoffs. Well, I'm going to talk to you about playoffs, because next year we got some playoffs going on. So, you know, we've got about 15, 20 minutes here that we can talk about the college bowl schedule and some of the top stories that maybe came to mind to you back in 2013 in the college world. 917-889-8516. You can also send us a tweet at T Balance, our social media director. Michelle is monitoring that, and we'll get your questions on and hopefully get them answered and certainly dive into some dialogue with you. And, you know, one of some of the things we are really looking into in 2014 is just a lot of good ways that we can bring the show better to you and help you interact with us. And so we're looking at a few things there as well. But joining us now is Mr. Jimmy the intern. Actually, we can't call him an intern anymore, so we're just going to, from this point forward, we're going to retire Jimmy the intern's number here at the Balance Honor of Fame and just refer to him from this point forward as Jimmy Kavanaugh, because as I hear, he's completed all requirements, at least anyway, to no longer be Jimmy the intern. Jimmy, congratulations to you, sir, and Happy New Year to you.
Thanks so much, Don. Yeah, it's nice to be, finally done with the undergraduate chapter of my life, and the number retirement is going to be a fond memory going forward. Cool.
Well, we hope that as you move forward in your future in broadcast here, that you'll always be a part of the Balance. And when you become a host of SportsCenter, we still want you to come on and say, hey, I remember way back when. but Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about what's going on. We'll get into the bowl schedule here in just a second. But we were just talking a little bit about 2013 top college sports stories. A lot to name, a lot to talk about. Obviously, some of the most recent ones is the Jameson Mathison and Johnny Quarterback. But as you look back at 2013 and you reflect at 2013, whether it be Big Ten, whether it be IU in your backyard there, or you know, in any college sport area, obviously IU and soccer. We just had our soccer segment. Had a lot to be proud of there in 2013. So a lot of things have happened in the college arena. So what are some of the things you remember most fondly about, whether that be good, bad, or indifferent, for college sports in 2013?
I'm going to miss Johnny Football. I'm going to miss Johnny Manziel. That was an interesting year after winning the Heisman Trophy and then becoming everyone's inexplicable center of attention all summer long when no one talks or thinks about college football. And then having him overshadowed this season by Jameis Winston, the Florida State quarterback, who basically came onto the scene the same way Manziel did, that was pretty interesting. And I think we're taking Johnny Manziel for granted a little bit, just the fact that there are not players that come along every day like him. And really, the way that he was able to perform from the beginning of his redshirt freshman year through this season, two of the best single-season quarterback statistical years in recent memory. I think you take the fact that he's, 6'1", 195 pounds, basically looks like some high school kid created himself in a video game and threw himself on the football field, and it's taking place to that extent. It was a great time to watch, and as a matter of fact, in the time that I've watched college football, he's one of my top five favorite players probably.
Well, and I really do like him, and certainly he had a quest for a second consecutive Heisman Trophy that was really derailed days before the 2013 season began with his, we call it, autograph gate, if you will. Maybe he should have known better, maybe he shouldn't, but so talented of a quarterback, that little small event overshadowed a lot. It could have been very, very detrimental to him and his future moving forward. Obviously we can't look into his mind, but if you was to look at Johnny and have an interview with him and say, Johnny, what were you thinking? What do you think he'd say?
I think he's fine with it. I mean, I don't think he had a problem. He obviously made some money on the side and people wanted his autograph. The thing that surprises me, although it really shouldn't at this point, is the fact that the autograph scandal, quote-unquote scandal on that, managed to throw people off the track, him as a football player, and totally changed the narrative. He actually had a better statistical year this season than he did last, and Texas A&M was a really good football team. Once again, the defense is awful. Manziel statistically was the best quarterback in the country, and he was not able to get the love for it because a lot of people were busy paying attention to other stuff, off-the-field stuff. It didn't matter.
Well, and maybe that brings to a different conversation we really don't have time for today, but we've had this conversation on the show with other people and perhaps maybe yourself, but we've just had the conversation that maybe there comes a time in the evolution, if you will, that these students might need to look at some sort of compensation. We've seen a lot of things, you know, from Cam Newton and just a lot of different things where college kids were taking money. And maybe it's not as prominent, perhaps, in college soccer with IU or Big Ten swimming or what have you. But you make it fair for one, you've got to make it fair for all in the NCAA. But do you think that there'll come a time in the near future where the NCAA will allow – maybe that takes away from the title amateur. I'm not sure. Maybe that's the distinction between a professional and an amateur and whether or not you get paid. There's certainly an argument on that side. But do you think we've come to a time where maybe we could open up dialogue and say maybe it's time that these kids get somewhat financially compensated for their talents? It doesn't have to be on a large scale, but certainly on a very, very lower scale type compensation plan.
Tom, I don't know if this is going to sound as stable as I want it to, but I don't think that college sports can continue to exist format with the way it is with both basketball and football. And I'm not saying I think there's going to be a change coming right down the pipe, but I do think that with the attention that paying college athletes has gotten over the past couple of years and the popular support has started to grow, it's going to be difficult for the NCAA to keep the status quo. They've already gone and started making some changes. We're not going to see a college football or basketball game from this point on. And I think those questions that are raised by that are only going to get louder. You brought up a good point with the swimmers, with the divers and soccer players maybe feeling like they should be paid as well. If you pay the football players and basketball players their purported worth, there's not going to be anything left over, not only for those swimmers, divers, and soccer players to get money on the side, but for them even to play a sport at all at its current level. So that's going to be one of the conversations that the universities have throughout the next couple of years, trying to figure out exactly how to compensate these players if they're going to do that at all. And if they do decide to do that, how that's going to affect the rest of the college sports landscape.
Well, let's look at 2013 at IU. I know you're finishing up there, and so we certainly want to give you some time to brag about IU. I'm an IU grad. You are a soon-to-be IU grad. 2013 in IU sports, and I know you cover a lot of sports and do the play-by-play with a lot of different things, from women's softball to basketball to various other different IU sports. As you look at IU at a 2013 recap, what are some of the things that stand out to you on campus there?
The basketball team, the second half of last year, second half of this year, too. I mean, they came in number one team in the country and were obviously the best team in the state. That's not something to take it for granted this year with Notre Dame topping and Butler, well, I think you'd probably say is better than Indiana this year. Hoosiers are in the middle of a rebuilding period with a bunch of young guys. I think that's something that people took for granted a little at the beginning of last season and are now appreciating just how special it was. And also the football program just trying to rebuild. I saw something quoted at me yesterday that the Indiana football head coaching job was named the number 6 most difficult coaching job of any kind in America, professional or college sports, across the board. So I think Kevin Wilson needs a little extra credit for what he's been doing and trying to put together a winning team. He put together the best wins since Bill the best winning season since Bill Lynch's last year, the best Big Ten conference season since the bowl year back in 2007-2008. I think they're still trending in the right direction. So those are going to be my two lasting memories from this year as far as Indiana sports are concerned.
Oh, absolutely, and who could ever argue with you about IU basketball, men's basketball, this past year in 2013? Well, we want to make sure that we get some of the biggest news out of 2013 that's going to affect us in 2014, and that's playoffs. We no longer have to deal with the BS or BCS bowls anymore. I think a lot of people are really tired of this, but we got one more year. We'll get into those bowl games here in just a moment. But the playoff system is in place. We're going to have playoffs, certainly not at the scale that we have in March, but we're going to have a playoff-type scenario. No one really knows what it's going to play out like on the field, but if you were to grab your crystal ball for a moment, Jimmy, and look forward into look past into 2013 on the playoff system and how it was developed, and into 2014, what are your thoughts, and what are some of the predictions that you could say, as we talk again next year this time, hey, I said last year this is what would happen with that playoff system?
Yeah, I think that there's going to be, honestly, a different way that rankings are looked at, because right now, without a playoff system, I think people feel compelled to continue ranking teams highly that don't lose a game, not just because, you know, it makes most sense that it's easiest to do, but because it's a lot more difficult to say to a team that hasn't lost a game, okay, you're going to be on the outside looking in. A team like Boise State a few years ago would, I think, enjoy the chance to play, allegedly, for a national championship. That Boise State team was never, even with the win against Oklahoma, they were never a major, big-time national contender. I'll go last year to Notre Dame. The top four teams were Notre Dame, Oregon, Kansas State, and Alabama, I believe, just about in that order. And in Notre Dame, in that matchup, would have faced Alabama in the first round of that playoff. It would be four teams with a plus-one system like that for the national championship game. And Notre Dame would have gotten smoked in that first round game just like they did in the actual championship game. It would have been interesting to see Bama and Oregon play. But even then, it's not like the top four teams are really in the rest of the mud with the rest of the country. It's not going to be all that different, really. There's going to be less question about teams at the very, very top being left out, but there's still going to be some question there. I think four teams is a good start. I'm going to be interested to see how big this thing gets.
Oh, absolutely, and I'm excited to see how it's going to turn out when we crown a champion. I'm wondering how many naysayers we'll have then. I hope that I'm not one of them, and I'm on the bandwagon. I'm excited to see about it. Well, we got one more year of the BCS Bowls, and you know, certainly there's a lot of bowls going on in 2013 bowl schedule. Obviously, you know, you've got all over the country, and you got the Military Bowl. You know, you got the Little Caesars Bowl. You got Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. You've got a lot of different bowl games, the Outback Bowl. We just don't have time to get into all of those. So I do want to just touch on the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl, Stanford versus Michigan State. We saw that pretty much play out here in Indianapolis at the end of the season for Michigan State Spartans. Good matchup. I think really this is an exciting time for Stanford and Michigan State. I'm not sure if Andrew Luck will make an appearance in the Rose Bowl, but maybe he will. But the Rose Bowl, Stanford versus Michigan State, obviously that'll be on New Year's Day on ESPN.
Yeah, Michigan State basically is playing for the pride of the Big Ten Conference because MSU, Sparty, and the Cardinal are basically the same type of team. They both like to slug it out. They both got pretty good defenses. They're both built around the power running game. And really, the perception nationally is that the Big Ten has taken several steps back in regards to football. You'll remember Ohio State in the 2006-2007 National Championship game as the last Big Ten team to be a national contender. And, you know, really, it's not changed since then. The SEC has won six straight national championships. They're going to have a chance to go for number seven as Auburn plays Florida State. And, you know, just as Florida State's basically playing for the rest of the country, it's going to be Michigan State playing for the Big Ten. I think they've got a chance to put the conference back on the map with a Rose Bowl win.
Well, exciting game it is. And, you know, Rose Bowl goes hand-in-hand with New Year's Day. It's just synonymous with that particular day. And I think probably as big of a football-watching day is New Year's Day with Thanksgiving. So it kind of starts this weekend and different games and things as we move forward into the big BCS games. Another game, Tostilla Fiesta Bowl. That's a tongue twister this early in the morning. UCF versus Baylor Bears, and I tell you what, especially at the end of the season, I enjoyed watching Baylor, and I'm excited to see that game on Tuesday night at 8:30 on ESPN.
Did you say it's UCF and Baylor playing?
That's what I have here. UCF and Baylor.
Oh boy, that's crazy because UCF. I've not followed that part. I haven't honestly followed the Atlantic 10 as much as I should have this year. But the fact that UCF is in there, the Gold Knights, good to see George O'Leary back on the horse after fudging resumes at Notre Dame. He's doing big things. And Baylor's been fun to watch all year. I mean, I think this is the game that most speaks to the opportunities that the BCS affords smaller level schools. Baylor's traditionally been an awful football program. Art Briles has done a lot to revive it. And UCF has had a great year. They've nearly gone down a handful of times. Temple almost beat them earlier this season. But, you know, right at the end, they had everything going, and they've kept everything going. I honestly can't say that there's too much to be excited about this Fiesta Bowl as opposed to the other BCS bowls, but it should at least be entertaining. Baylor might put 70 points on those guys.
Well, there's something sweet about the Sugar Bowl, and that is seeing Oklahoma, and wait for it, Alabama not playing in the national championship game. So to me, Sugar Bowl is full of all kinds of sugar this year with Alabama not in the national championship game. Going to be a good game, Oklahoma versus Alabama.
I mean, I'll keep this one short and sweet because Alabama is going to make a – they're going to do some ugly things to Blake Bell and
make
the rest of the Oklahoma offense. I don't know too much about what – I don't know if Oklahoma is going to match up that well. I really don't think they will because Alabama is probably the best team in the country again this year. I would have loved to see a Bama-Florida State game. Unfortunately, did not get the pleasure to do that. This is not going to be pretty. Oklahoma's been a decent team all year. They played really well against Oklahoma State to get the win in the Red River rivalry against their crosstown rivals. I guess not crosstown. Stillwater's a little bit away. But I'm just taking a look at this, and I have no idea how in the world Oklahoma can beat Alabama.
It's going to be a good one. And I tell you what, another good game that I'm really wanting to watch, and I think this has got the makings of a perfect storm, if you will, Discover Orange Bowl on January 3rd, 8:30 ESPN, Clemson versus Ohio State. I think this is really one of the premier bowl games of the year.
Yes, absolutely. Clemson's had a bad reputation of showing up to these games not quite ready to play. Ohio State is going to be smarting from the loss to Michigan State back in Indianapolis in the Big Ten title game. I think this has got to be Ohio State's game to lose, really. It's another chance, like I was saying earlier, for the Big Ten to make a big statement win against a name program, even if it is Clemson.
Right, absolutely. So as we look at the national championship game, Florida State versus Auburn, I would say – because Auburn beat Alabama and a great season that Florida State had, I think that maybe we could say for the final year, BCS got it right in the national championship game.
I think so, and they would have gotten it even more right if Auburn had managed to – or, excuse me, if Alabama had managed to tackle Auburn's kick returner on the way back from that missed field goal. That would have been a really fun game to watch. This will be just about as fun. The Florida State team – is about as dynamic on both sides of the ball as a team that I can remember. Bama was more grinded out. There's been something joyless about the way Alabama has approached things. They've just been more skilled, more talented across the board in the trenches than other teams in the past. Florida State isn't totally that way, but they've got so many great skill position players. They're fast. They fly around on defense. They're a lot more glitzy. They've got skill guys all over the field who can make plays, and that's both on offense and defense. This is going to be an exciting game. I honestly hope the Florida State's going to be putting up some major points because Jameis Winston's fun to watch play. But I'm looking at this one more time and just saying I really don't know what's going to happen. This is probably the best game of the bowl season, and I'm just thankful it's in the national title game.
Well, Jimmy, since this is a Big Ten team in this matchup, when we look at Carlos Hyde, certainly I think probably one of the best running backs in Ohio State's recent memories. Where does he land at in the NFL draft this year? Certainly, one would think that he's going to be in the top five. But how far up is his stock? How well do you think he'll do at the combine? Or are we totally off on this? Is he going to be a late round pick, but will develop into a good NFL player?
I think it's too early to say on Carlos Hyde. There's still a lot of talk going, and this is one of those things where the combine is going to have more to say about it than we will. But right now, I'd slate him as a mid round pick. He could always be one of those guys who makes a name for himself in the Senior Bowl combine, or he could have a bad workout and slide off teams' draft boards. The story of Vontae is perfect, actually. I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit here. But he was a guy who was basically an all Pac-12 linebacker at Arizona State. Had a couple of bad interviews before the draft. Went undrafted entirely and is now going to be an all-pro linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals. So, honestly, that story tells me about all I need to know about the NFL draft, that teams get scared. Teams get scared off guys. There's a herd mentality occasionally where they'll just totally flock away from a guy. And at the end of the day, it has no impact on how good a football player he is, which is the only thing right now that we know about Carlos Hyde. So I'm not really going to speculate on that any further. I think he'll be a good running back wherever he gets drafted.
Well, Jimmy, this is it. The final show of 2013, we move into 2014. Obviously, we have some resolutions for the show. I know you've got some New Year's resolutions moving forward with post-graduation years. But anything that you want to share with us about your personal personal resolutions or career resolutions that you may have going forward into 2014?
You know what? I don't look at it like that. I'm going to quote Tom Crean and talk about going one step at a time. I'm just happy to be graduated and going forward for that. We'll see what things turn out in the next couple of weeks. I just know that I'm going to be staying in Bloomington for the next couple of months, kind of just looking around and finishing things up there before moving on to the next chapter of my life.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to knowing what that next chapter is and having you a part of the show moving forward. Well, Jimmy the Intern, where can people find your work and your masterpieces, at least for the moment anyway?
Well, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at JPCIV, and you can check out written work, not too much recently, but there will probably be some stuff up there pretty soon on IU Sports Com. I'll also be calling the Indiana-Michigan State game this time next week as the Hoosiers host Sparty, and that'll be on WIUX.org.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Jimmy Intern we're not calling him that anymore. It's an old habit to break. Jimmy Kavanaugh, future IU grad, congratulations to you, sir. I hope that your new career brings you everything that you hope for, and I hope that in 2014, especially as we get closer to March, that you and I will have a lot more conversations.
Gracias, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. Jimmy the Intern. I enjoyed having him on throughout his college years out at IU. I got to break that habit and call him Jimmy Kavanaugh. So congratulations, Jimmy, on your soon-to-be graduate, if you will. All right, guys. Well, we've whipped out 1 hour. Excuse me. Whip this out. Don't get me started on it. Well, standing by in our green room is Mr. Sparky, and we're going to get him on here in just a minute. We're going to be talking about some Colts. Look back at 2013 from the Colts. Obviously, the last regular season game for the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Of course, as Sparky reminded me this morning, we do have some home games left, and that's the playoff system. But right around the corner is the Greek, and we're going to have Elizabeth the Greek on right here on the Balance Radio Network right after this, and then we'll get right into our 2013 conversation of our beloved Colts. My name is Saul Marcos El Presidente. You're on the Balance Radio Network.
I want to go fast.
This is Elizabeth the Greek. Stay tuned. My predictions are coming up right here on The Balance Online with the host, Tom Keith.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hut, hut, hike.
What are you talking about?
Football. Catch the fever.
It's time for
the Elizabeth the Greek.
Damn, that kid is cool, huh?
Well, Elizabeth, last week of the regular season for the NFL.
I know it was bad.
Oh, how bad was it? It's your worst week ever.
It was bad than 199.
190. No, it was your worst week ever as Elizabeth the Greek. You went 2-6. I don't think you've had that bad of a week ever. I'm going back. I talked with when Uncle Cliff and I did a show. We don't think you ever had a bad week like that. So, well, good thing about it is it happened last week, so we can move forward, go forward. Let's get into it right now. Last week of the regular season for the NFL. We are going to have you do all of the games, okay? You ready to do all of them?
No, I'm not going to do all of them.
Is that sarcasm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because then I can
It's sarcasm. Okay. Let's get into this, okay? First off, we have on Sunday, 1 o'clock game. Do you go with the Carolina Panthers or the Atlanta Falcons?
Atlanta Falcons.
Next game, 1 o'clock game, Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Another game at 1 o'clock, Cleveland Browns or the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Cleveland Browns.
I'm going with the Cleveland Browns. Another 1 o'clock game, we have the Detroit Lions or the Minnesota Vikings?
Detroit Lions.
The Detroit Lions. Yet another 1 o'clock game, we're going to do the Houston Texans or the Tennessee Titans?
Tennessee Titans.
Another 1 o'clock game, the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Indianapolis Colts?
The Indianapolis Colts.
Another 1 o'clock game, New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins?
New York Jets.
Final 1 o'clock game, we have the Washington Redskins or the New York Football Giants?
The New York Football Giants.
Moving on, we have a 4:25 game. It pits the Buffalo Bills versus the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Again, you're no more my daughter.
Daddy.
I know. Okay, we got to keep going. Another 4:25 game, Green Bay Packers or the Chicago Bears?
Green Bay Packers.
Moving a little westward, still sticking around at 4:25, we have the Denver Broncos or the Oakland Raiders?
Denver Broncos.
Another 4:25 game, Kansas City Chiefs or the San Diego Chargers?
San Diego Chiefs.
Wait. It's the Kansas City Chiefs or the San Diego Chargers. Which one is it? The Chiefs or the Chargers?
Chiefs.
You're going to go with the Chiefs. We have the St. Louis Rams or the Seattle Seahawks?
Seattle Seahawks.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers or New Orleans Saints?
New Orleans Saints.
Final 4:25 game, we have the San Francisco 49ers or the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals.
And finally, Sunday night game, we have the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys.
And who picked those?
Elizabeth the Greek. Make sure to like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Elizabeth the Greek. And we're talking with the big boys today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Saul Marquis, El Presidente. I am your leader, your fearless leader, the patriarch of our Balance family. I'm sorry, I've heard the word patriarch so much over this whole Duck Dynasty thing. Good job, A&E, bringing back Phil Robinson. I wish we had some time to get into that conversation. But maybe we were all played as fans, maybe we weren't. But the thing is, the fans stood together, and Phil Robinson is back. But speaking of super fans, the one, the only Super Colts fan, you know him and his whole crew and posse out at Lucas Oil Stadium before every Colts game, Super Colts fan, Sparky, how are you doing, sir? It's been a few weeks since we had you on the show here. You've been greatly missed, and I'm tired of all the hate mail of why you're not on. So we're back having you on here for the final regular season, air quotes, of the Indianapolis Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. How are you doing, sir? Happy New Year to you.
Oh, I am happy, happy, happy.
Happy, 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 Jack. Yeah, I so wanted, the one thing I asked Santa Claus for was a set of Uncle Si tea glasses, and I didn't get it. That's okay. I'm okay with it, though. So we are happy, happy, happy as Colts fans, and I, even though we're a national broadcast, I wear my blue proud, no bias here. I root for all teams, and I cover all teams equally. But when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts, yes, sirree, yes, indeed, I love the Indianapolis Colts and what Andrew Luck has done. And one of the phrases that we've coined here over the past year is we'd rather have a young Colt than an old Bronco. Well, an old Bronco certainly showed that he could still play with the best of them last week. So congratulations to Peyton Manning in breaking Tom Brady's record. As Peyton Manning said, he doesn't get to keep it very long. I know that you live vicariously both through Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. So real quickly, Sparky, what did you think about Peyton Manning's record-breaking season so far?
No, it's crazy. I mean, for, in football age, an old quarterback to go out there and do what he's doing, I mean, he's a perfectionist. And, it shows his work ethic and everything and the way he is, in practice, and I mean, it all pays off. That just shows that you can do anything, and if you put your mind to it, he's just amazing. And I'm always getting people around here. Well, don't you wish you still had Manning? Don't you wish you still had Manning? No, I know. I'm glad we don't have Manning. I mean, honestly, I mean, we have next 10, 15 years of luck, and I'd rather have that than we all know that that Manny's probably going to retire after next year when his contract's up.
I totally agree with you, Sparky, there. I love having Sparky on because you know why? And we cover a lot of sports stories here. Obviously, today alone, we've covered college and soccer and a lot of different other sports here, and that's why we call it The Balance, because we give you a full balance of all sports. But the whole concept of our show was developed about sitting around talking to fans, and there's no bigger fan of the Indianapolis Colts than Sparky, and getting all dressed up in his costume, and he's got his whole posse there and his fiance, and they all have nicknames, and I've had a chance to talk with several people in your group there, and actually had a chance last season to hang out with you at a game, and what a fun time that is. And you are a celebrity down at Lucas Oil, so you certainly are a pure definition of the word fan, and which is what this show, The Balance, is all about. Well, we were really fortunate with the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck to really kind of have back-to-back quarterbacks, if you will, from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck. And really, you can see Andrew Luck has said in many interviews one of his favorite players that he emulated growing up was Peyton Manning, and that shows you how long and how old Peyton Manning is in the league, and it just seems like just yesterday that we drafted a young kid named Peyton Manning out of the University of Tennessee, and now we have the torch has been carried on and passed on to Andrew Luck. I think that Andrew Luck has not missed a beat in filling the shoes of Peyton Manning and also establishing his own legacy within the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I believe that, he didn't get selected to the Pro Bowl this year, as far as I know. I think it was only Mathis won this year for the Colts. But, you think back to the days where Manning was drafted and, he had a slow start. But, I mean, he had, these high expectations just like Luck is right now. And, you knew you were watching something special and, develop into, the superstar. And, that's what we have now. And, we have our moments and everything, but we're a young team, and the more years it goes on, more games are played. He's just going to get better, and the chemistry between his receivers and the players is just going to get better and better, and it's just going to be tougher to beat us.
Now, Sparky, we're talking with Sparky, Super Colts fan, as we've established, leads the charge of Colts fans into Lucas Oil with him and his group of people, and I'm sure you've seen him on TV, all decked out in their makeup and costumes. So certainly true fans. Now, let me ask you this, and I want you to speak for all the fans. What a blow was it to you as fans to see Reggie Wayne go down on the field? Ironically enough, how ironic was this that it happened on the game against the Denver Broncos? And, you know, Andrew Luck blamed himself for that. But, you know, there was a moment there that the network TV showed a glimpse of Peyton Manning. And he, you could just tell when he saw Reggie Wayne go down that his heart went out to Reggie Wayne. And then they went over to Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck, well, you could tell, was just extremely concerned about Reggie Wayne. We love Reggie Wayne here in Indianapolis. How exciting is it for him to still be on the sidelines and be in meetings and really still be a part of developing Andrew Luck? But as a fan, when you saw that happen at Lucas Oil Stadium, what happened? What were you feeling?
Everyone's heart just, like, pretty much just sank. We see him go down, and, you know, the longer it took, when the medical staff was out on the field, we started to get more concerned. Then they showed the replay on the Jumbotron and seeing his knee go, and we all knew, you know, what happened. And it was just like, wow, you know, you're not going to replace that guy. And, you know, it's terrible, but I mean, you know, he is up there in, you know, football years, and, you know, it's the next man up, and, you know, that's just the way it is in the NFL. I mean, you never know. I mean, Luck could go down today or tomorrow, you know, you just never know. But that's just the way it is, and, you know, you just got to move on, you know, next man up.
Well, you know, that is Chuck Pagano's motto, next man up. And T.Y. Hilton has did a great job there. And, you know, we drafted Trent Richardson. And you know, you and I both were pretty excited about that draft. And maybe a lot of people right now aren't so excited about drafting Trent Richardson. But next man up, Donald Brown, has really stepped up this year. I think probably if we look at Donald Brown, probably has had the best season he's ever had with the Indianapolis Colts, in the shadow, if you will, of Trent Richardson, but has really earned that starting job. And I think Trent believes that Donald Brown really did earn it. I think Trent is a future Colt. I think he's definitely has all the markings of being a future Colt. I think we, as fans, we need to be a little bit more patient with Trent Richardson, but at the same time, Donald Brown has stepped up. So we look at the squad that we have now going against the Jacksonville Jaguars, which really, let's face it, probably the worst team in the NFL right now, right up there with the Houston Texans. So both of those right there out of our division. So in a lot of ways, we've had a lot of help getting to our division championship. Again, thank you, Peyton Manning, for winning a divisional championship for the Indianapolis Colts. But we're here. We're there. The playoffs are coming. I don't know how much we'll see Andrew Luck and some of our other starters. Obviously, the last thing we want is Andrew Luck to get hurt in a game against Jacksonville that means nothing to nobody when we're getting ready to go into the playoffs. So I would guess that we'll see a lot of the starters get a day off tomorrow. So we're going to kind of really have our secondary squad. So maybe Jacksonville will be able to capitalize on that. Win or loss, no big deal to us, but Hasselbeck probably taking the helm there. So when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars game tomorrow, what are you guys looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking for, you know, pretty much the next, you know, like I said before, the Knicks ran up. I mean, you know, we're going to have a lot of the second string guys there, and, you know, some third string and stuff, and just maybe, you know, look to see, you know, where that next, you know, person, you know, is going to be as far as, you know, if they're going to be around next year. And, you know, there's some players, you know, I've been kind of wondering about that never really got a chance this year to, you know, much to play. And, you know, it'll be fun to see them. And, you know, but then again, you know, we were supposed to play next weekend. If everything sets right, I think someone has to lose out or something for us to get, you know, a bye, which I don't want the bye. I think the week off just hurts us. I don't like having the week off, you know. And I think, you know, we need to play our starters for at least, you know, the first half, maybe into the third quarter, you know, so they don't get, you know, so they don't get rusty going into next weekend. I think that, you know, that's the key. I mean, I'm not a firm believer of having a bye at all. And I just, you know, I want to see the starters play.
Well, I can see that side of the argument. I like both sides of the argument because certainly if we have a bye, that's one less game that we have to play in the playoffs. That puts us one less game closer to the AFC Championship. And let's face it, as it looks now, Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos will be in that AFC Championship. The only question is who they'll play. And obviously all the major networks want it to be New England and Denver. But I think we have a shot there, but we've got to get past Kansas City. What's been remarkable to me with the Colts this year, even though we've had some losses, and yes, those are important to look at, but we look at the wins that we've had over teams that mattered: San Francisco, Denver, Kansas City last week, and we have been able to do that in spite of it all. Beating Kansas City, let's make no bones about it. Kansas City is a real team this year, and they're a real, real, real threat. And if you were really to make an analyzation of what teams would be in the AFC Championship game, it's going to be Denver and Kansas City, or Denver and New England. Those are your logical favorite statements to have. So we beat both Denver and Kansas City. So, you know, we've got a lot going for us. And now, as we look back real quickly here, while we still got just a minute or two with you, Sparky, I know you're making your haul from, believe it or not, you live in Bears Land, which is about where you live at in Illinois, deep in the heart of Chicago Bears Land. So you ought to be pretty excited about Aaron Rodgers coming back, because you hate the Bears. A lot of people don't know that, but you hate the Bears. And you do like the Packers. So you should be excited about Aaron Rodgers coming back, which is your other favorite quarterback, that I believe. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. So you're making haul.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You're making your haul to Indianapolis, and that's about a four-hour drive. You do that every home game. You come in on Saturday, and you call us on your drive-in. You've been doing that for a long time. And you get down to Indianapolis, and you go out, and you get in your costume, you get your pictures, and so forth. As you look back into 2013, I think probably, you know, we've already talked to the top story with the Colts in 2013 was the loss of Reggie Wayne. But how special was that other story in 2013, and that was Peyton Manning returning to Lucas Oil Stadium?
That has to be the best game we have ever been to. I've only been to 27 games now. And, you know, before that it was the Packers last year was the best game, but the Broncos game just – By far exceeds that game. That was like the Super Bowl game for us, and the noise there was just, I mean, they opened the roof that night. We thought, man, that's kind of stupid. You know, all the noise is going to go out. No. That place was so loud. My head was pounding in the second quarter. The seats were vibrating. The concrete was moving. Words cannot explain how loud that was and what the energy was in that stadium. And, you know, for us to come out and get the win, and, you know, that sack, you know, that safety in the end zone, is just, oh man. My fiance is sitting here getting chills just to be talking about it.
Oh yeah.
It's just insane.
Well, and you know, I use the word ironic, how ironic it was that the two top stories of the Indianapolis Colts of 2013, certainly there were a lot of good stories, a lot of top stories. The Trent Richardson trade, which is not only a top story in the Colts, but a top story in NFL. So, but the two of the top, I would say the number one and number two stories in 2013 revolving around the Indianapolis Colts were Reggie Wayne going down and Peyton Manning returning to Lucas Oil. And crazy as it sounds, both of those stories happen exactly on the same night. Well, Sparky, I know you're headed to Indianapolis, and I hope you have a safe drive. And any New Year's resolutions that you want to share with us this year?
I really haven't even thought about it.
Well, you know, we've got a lot. We've got a lot of plans here on the show, and certainly, I know you're on our Facebook fan page, and we're one of the big things that we're doing is 14,000 fans in 2014. Hopefully, we'll way surpass that this time next year, and be way past that. But we're doing 14,000 fans in 2014 for our Facebook fan page. So I know you're a part of that, and we appreciate all the promotion that you help do for us. Well, real quickly, Sparky, is there anything that you'd like to talk with us about that perhaps maybe we haven't talked about when it comes to the 2013 Colts or moving forward here into the playoffs real quickly?
I look at it like this. You know, you look at all the wins that we've got this year, and we beat Denver, beat Seattle, beat 49ers, and Kansas City. Kansas City, to me, is just they're not as strong a team as what I think, as what everyone says they are. I mean, I knew that they're going to end up 10-6 when they were 8-0. You know, they never played anyone the first 9 games. And then they played Denver. That was spiraled down. But you look at those teams that we beat, and then you look at our losses, and our losses come against mediocre to teams like, you've got to be kidding me, we lost to the Rams. So you look at it that way, and we can play the good teams hard and we can beat them. So you look at it like this, we should be all right in the playoffs, right? We go into the playoffs, we play the good teams, we play them hard. Well, even if we have a close outcome, I'd be happy with it. I really think that we can make it to the AFC Championship game, and I honestly don't think that Denver is going to be there. I don't think Denver is going to be there.
All right, well, we'll hope that you're right, Sparky, Super Colts fan. Sparky, have yourself a safe trip here to Indianapolis and enjoy the last regular season home game here at Lucas Oil Stadium of 2013.
All right, have a good one, Tom.
All righty. Sparky, Super Colts fan, good friend of the show, is a true definition of a sports fan with the Indianapolis Colts. Guys, my name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. I'm going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to dive into the top sports stories of 2013 right around the corner, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
In nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
I'm Chris Jampone, defender of the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm Michael Bradley, midfielder for the U.S. National Team.
Hi, I'm Heather O'Reilly, midfielder.
Hi, Abby Wambach here with the U.S. Women's National Team.
I'm DeMarcus Beasley.
Nicole Barnhart, goalkeeper.
And Crystal Dunn here,
Becky Sauerbrunn, defender.
Hey, I'm Alejandro Bedoya.
And I'm Rachel Buehler, defender for the Women's National Team.
Wishing you and yours, and we are wishing you.
We just wanted to wish you and yours
a happy holiday.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And all the best for 2014.
They say the numbers never lie, so let's keep it real. Brought to you by Michael Smith and Jemele Hill. Before we start the new year, I'ma bring the stats up. This is 2013 sports wrap-up. Alabama and Saban, they started with a win. The NHL starts to gel, so the lockout ends. The Heat went on the streak, but the Bulls said no. Catfish of the year, man, Tateo. Lance admitted it doping, but that news was old. Lights out to those wins, kinda like the Super Bowl. 30-minute delay, and a momentum drop. After a flick of the switch, Ravens on top. Chip Kelly went to Philly, and he changed some things. Baseball said no cheaters in the Hall of Fame. Then Jordan turned 50, but he still got hot. And that DeAndre dunk, yeah, that man is props. Night, night, Brandon, that was so unfair. None of us were prepared for what happened to Kevin Ware. Danica and Daytona, it wasn't even close. Gotta love the underdog with a Florida Gulf Coast. The Boston Marathon fell under attack. But I salute the city, though, because they bounced right back. And then Kobe got injured, L.A. was a disaster. Blackhawks got the cup, Adam Scott got the Masters. The Heat got the title, number two, that's big. And baseball got taken over by Yasiel Puig. Your Saints still voting, got opponents frozen. And Phil Mickelson got the British Open. They investigating steroids like every day. Howard went to Houston and chucked the deuces to L.A. Congrats to Andy Murray, Silver got KO'd. Then the Celtics split up, oh man, Rondo. Congrats to Serena, Patino, and Louisville. Tebow got released, the Pats have no chill. Jay-Z became an agent and put it in a song. Signed Johnny Manziel, I wonder if y'all get along. A-Rod got suspended and appealed to come back. The Pirates made the playoffs, never thought I'd say that. Megatron started yards and was like, I'm taking them. Rivera played his last game at Yankee Stadium. Red Sox at the top. What up, Beantown? Nick Foles and Peyton Manning threw for 7 touchdowns. Tiger Woods, all good. Tour player of the year. USC got Lane Kiffin right up out of there. And Jimmy Johnson won the cup. I think that's it. AI came back to Philly just to call it quits. Robinson Cano got a big gift from Santa. Auburn came back and shocked Alabama. You gotta be kidding, Jason. Be a better planner. Good try with the drink, but the league got cameras. And the Pats came back to beat the Broncos. He caught another tough break. Well wishes to D-Rose. To legends we lost, we'll never forget y'all. Ken Norton, Deacon Jones, and Pat Summerall. Sam Musall, Earl Weaver watching over us. Along with the late, great Dr. Jerry. But we'll see you next year, Skills Live on the scene. And that's the sports wrap-up for 2013.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis. That's right, thank you to Skills Up. Freestyle, wrapping it up for the our musical montage of the top sports stories in 2013. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to spend the next 30 minutes. Typically, we do talk fantasy football. That's over with this year. I hope that you did well in your fantasy football season. So we're going to spend the next half hour, usually at the bottom of this hour, we'll be talking from going forward into 2014. We'll be talking probably about the playoffs or NBA or just really kind of a recap of what's going on. So 2013 in sports, a lot of things they touched on. Wow, when you sit back and you think about some of the top stories in 2013, what comes to mind? You know, certainly we have a lot. Jimmy Johnson getting the cup again. We talked a lot about in racing. We had some really good, great guests. Courtney Force and Brittany Force, sisters. We talked with Courtney Force about doing the Body magazine in ESPN. We talked with Courtney Force about some of the new Brittany Force, the two Force sisters, about a lot of things they've got going on. We spent a good time out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, really bringing you a lot of coverage with the 2013 Indianapolis 500. Obviously, what we saw was Tony Kanaan. winning his first Indianapolis 500. We also saw a tragic wreck with Dario Franchitti. Having just a tragic wreck. And, you know, we played the interview or the press conference, if you will, after he made that decision. So, you know, as we reflect, and we're just going to take some stories at random here and just kind of reflect on what we played when that was going on. This was Dario Franchitti's crash out in Houston.
Front wing out of the way so guys can get through. Here's the safety team. That's a welcome sight. Those guys are on the scene.
The whole Metro safety team, the guys did such a great job.
The back there. Yeah. So
Sato in the background. Remember, Takuma had a very, I don't want to say slow speed. It wasn't slow speed, but he had a minor crash yesterday. Enough to tweak his wrist. This was a high-speed crash.
And I think that's the turn five section, Lee, isn't it?
It is five. It's the five sweeper.
Yeah.
Carrying a lot of speed through there.
Flying. And let's not forget, we talked about the marbles. And there's the marbles on the outside there. Sato gets
he got loose.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. That is a horrifying ride for Dario Franchitti.
Oh, man. That is an oval crash we've seen before, and we hate to see that kind of impact.
Sato...
Oh boy! Look at the debris go through. Oh boy! And fencing. Yeah, it does look like there might be some debris into the grandstands as well. That is a violent impact.
Fortunately, the fence kept the car in the racetrack.
This is Graham Rahal arriving on the scene.
Full course yellow. Full course yellow. Can you get through there?
So Sato gets loose, and Dario's got nowhere to go. That is a thundering blow.
Yeah.
It leaves you speechless. And again, the whole Metro safety crew and medics attending to Dario Franchitti on the scene. We could see earlier what looked like, and here is his team boss, Chip Ganassi, on the way to see Dario. We saw earlier what appeared to be Dario talking on the radio to his team. If that was the case, we don't know. But very, very frightening scenes for a four-time series winner, a three-time Indy 500 champ.
What's comforting as a driver is to sit here and see that the survival cell largely intact there. You know, that the tub appears to be intact, but you just can't deny
the
force of that impact, Wally.
In the business attending to him right now.
Yeah.
If you're just turning on, this has been a very high speed and scary crash for one of the sports legends. Dario Franchitti is being tended to right now. The other cars you can see on track, the Citco entry is EJV, so he got himself out of the car and walked away. The other car is of Takuma Sato of AJ Foyt Racing. He too got himself out of the car and walked away. And this is what is on the outside of the circuit from where Dario Franchitti climbed up over Takuma Sato's car and into the catch fencing. It was a...
happened too, so gosh.
Well, there you go. I apologize.
Pulled his helmet off. You were worried. You asked me, is Dario okay? When you pulled through, what did you...
Well, there you go. I apologize about the rough end to that. But as you know, that was one of the big stories that we covered in 2013, the crash of Dario Franchitti, which ultimately led to his retirement. I do think that we also have Mr. Todd, the teacher. Todd, are you on with us? Maybe not. Maybe he might just be. Todd, are you with us?
No, this is Sparky.
Oh, Sparky. Oh, okay. Are you? I saw you. Did you call back in? I didn't. I thought maybe that Todd was calling in too. You were just wanting to listen to the show, right?
You said I was up in 4 minutes, so I called you back.
That was earlier, dude. You're so sad sack. The last sad sack of 2013 goes to you, my friend. I was wondering why you were in my phone queue. I thought maybe you weren't able to listen any other way or something. I don't know. All right, buddy. Have a safe trip. We'll keep you in queue though. All right.
Okay.
Woo! Who gets sad sack bigger there, me or Sparky? I want to give it to Sparky. The final sad sack of 2013 goes to Sparky. I sent him a text, as we do to all of our guests, give you a little behind-the-scenes operations here. We kind of let our guests know that they're coming up right after the next break or the next segment. You know, trying to be nice and polite. Apparently, he didn't look at his text until classic. Classic. You know what? I should have put together some classic bloopers of the show of 2013. That'd have been fun. But let's get back on point here. Dario Franchitti's terrible wreck that happened. And you know, I my hat's off to Dario. What a hard decision that was for him to make. And you know, excited to see where he'll come into play in the future of IndyCar. And how great and how special was that to see his good friend as we affectionately talk about the three amigos, Dan Weldon, Tony Kanaan, and Dario Franchitti, and now there's two. Now there's one, so Tony Kanaan has a lot of shoes to fill, especially when he has been mentored, if you will, or vice versa from all the way around. He's Dario Franchitti, Dan Weldon, which we miss immensely in the IndyCar circuit. And hats off this year to Elio Castroneves, becoming the driver of the year in 2013. Scott Dixon won the IndyCar Championship. So a lot of great racing stories that we covered. I wish we had time to get into all of those, but unfortunately, we do not. Another story that I wanted to spend some time talking about was a story that really just took us by surprise and a hard story to cover and a hard story to talk about. And that's the Boston bombings, the Boston Marathon bombings. And if you remember, what a solitude time that was. And to realize that we as a country had yet again been attacked by terrorists, how tragic that was and how that came together with the Boston bombing. And how wonderful was that to see Boston come together. And, you know, as much as I would have liked to see my St. Louis Cardinals win a World Series in 2013, if I had to lose to a team, a World Series to a team, I am thankful I lost it to the Boston Red Sox.
But I love that dirty water.
One Boston. No adversity, no challenge, nothing can tear down the resilience of the heart of the city and its people. Nothing can defeat the heart of the city. Nothing. Nothing will take us down because we take care of one another.
This is our city. And nobody's gonna dictate our freedom.
gloriously. The love and the strength covers our city. It will push us forward because this is Boston, a city with courage, compassion, strength that knows no bounds.
Following the tragedy at the 2013 Boston Marathon, there was One Boston. Donate to the One Fund at oneboston.org. That's the One Fund at onefundboston.org.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Yes, Sweet Caroline, a song that you can't help but sing along with, and really became the anchor and the theme song of the Boston bombing in 2013. What a tragic story that was. It's still, you know, hard to talk about as we think about that in the scenes that we looked at, and medical workers rushing after injured runners and standbyers in the explosion at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Certainly, by every media sort out there, and certainly with us too, in AP Press, who does the top stories as well, voted the Boston bombing story to be the top story of 2013. And we're just some cowardless terrorists. And that's what they were. And maybe homegrown in a lot of ways here in the United States, and you know where they come from, their country of origin, their those all things aren't really things that's important. The point is, they decided to make an attack against innocent people. They decided to take two pressure cooker bombs and explode them near the finish line on April 15th, in an area that was packed with cheering fans and passing runners. And, you know, we remember talking about this with the Indian May, back in Indian May, I'm sorry, with the 500 Festival, I apologize, with the mini marathon, and talking with the director of that. Just right after that is when we kick off a big thing here in Indianapolis called the mini marathon, the largest half marathon in the world, if you will. So that was a tragic story, if you will. Just incredible the way we came together as a country. So certainly, probably the top story of all. You know, we had also had some fun here, and I want to make sure we get everything in here, but I want to take some time to mention to Cure Food. If you remember, and I tell you what, we had some fun with Two Cure Food. We really did. I enjoyed it, you know, and following these two guys that actually, tying this together with Boston, actually originated in Boston, Brad Jones, and Two Cure Food. We'll get the website up, in just a moment, but we had some fun with them. And you know, they actually went cross country learning about different ways to grow food and different things that different food alternatives, if you will. I'm actually, I know that we had some great interviews with them, but I'm trying to find those sound bites. So I think Michelle's going to help me find those sound bites for Chew Cure Food, and we'll get those on here in just a minute. But it was an exciting time that we had on the show here, talking with Chew Cure Food, and their trips. And I tell you what, I sometimes you think that you have everything lined up and then it doesn't. But I guess I'll just I'll move on here. And I thought I had some Cure Feud interviews here, but I guess I don't. I guess that's just how it is, right? Well, such is life. We really enjoyed Chew Cure Food and talking with them, and we'll get that information up on our social media. Well, what was your top story of 2013? Obviously, we talk about the Boston bombing. What were some of your other top stories of 2013? Certainly, most recently, we think about Phil Robinson and what went on with that show, and you know the comments that were taken out of it. And we talk about hunting being a sport, and we joke about it, but it really is. So what are some of your top sports stories in 2014? As you heard in the montage, who would have ever thought, who would have ever thunk that the Pirates would have got to the playoffs? Remember, Lance Armstrong came clean, if you will, no pun intended. Then we have the NFL concussion issues going on, which we did a lot of talking about that. Aaron Hernandez. Aaron Hernandez, obviously a player for New England, arrested for murder and possibly now multiple murders. Baltimore Ravens win their first Super Bowl. The Boston Red Sox, as we mentioned, win the World Series. That was pretty cool in itself. And how about Auburn's football shock against Alabama? I'm just kind of going through my notes. And you know what? And I have this on my notes, too. Manti Te'o's hoax and all that went around with that as well. Those are some other great stories that we talked about in playoffs. We're talking about playoffs. The Pirates made it to the Major League Baseball playoffs. Obviously, didn't make it to the World Series. Want to make sure I clarified that. Miami Heat wins the NBA title. Those are all some great stories. So you think back of 2013. And we always like to take time at the end of the year to reflect what has happened in that year, both good and positive. And maybe you can do that in your own life. Maybe there's some negative things that you've been able to filter out of your life, and 2014 will be better for you. And, you know, certainly focus on the positive and don't focus on the negative. Take some time with your family and do a family New Year's resolution. We're doing that with our family, you know, and certainly do your individual ones and do your spiritual ones and do your financial ones, but take some time as a family and look back at 2013. What are some of the things that we could improve in? And, you know, as sports fans, let's look at sports fans, and that's what this whole show is designed in and around for, is sports. And as sports fans, could we have been better sports in different situations? Could we have been more tolerant in other situations? Could we have been more understanding in other situations? And, you know, certainly as sports fans, it's one of the greatest treasures that we have as a U.S. citizen is that we have the ability to root for our favorite teams. None of that would be possible without our troops and what they've given in 2013 for our freedoms. Take some time to remember what the military has done in 2013 for you. My son's in the Marines, as you've heard me talk about many times. So take some time in 2014 and just really take some dedicated time to thank our troops. Pray for our troops at dinner. Take some time to get closer to God and to your family and to your favorite sport. take some time to maybe learn some new sports, as we're going to be doing here on The Balance. We're introducing a new soccer segment, which we feel is a huge, huge additive to this show. And so we've got a lot going on. Remember, we've got 14,000 fans in 2014. That's our goal. We want you to be a part of it. I toast you, my minions. Remember, go out New Year's Eve, have a good time, or stay home. But whichever you do, don't drink and drive. There's no worse feeling than waking up in jail on New Year's Day. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Happy New Year.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.